Hello everyone, I'm Pastor Steve and you are in our scattered group. I'm glad you've joined with us in your group or in your home for the special midweek message. It's good to have everyone participating today. I hope that you're doing well. Let's continue to pray for each other and also pray for your group. Let's continue to pray for our church as we grow and as we see needs for people to step up and serve in different ways. And we're really blessed with great opportunities to serve. So connect with me or call the church office if you'd like to find ways that you can serve and minister. We do need your help in the coming days in several different ministries, and we'll be sharing more about that soon. Also, men, we would like you to commit to come to as many of the men's Bible studies as you can. There's only five. As it's really cold out, we can't get out and build and do a lot of things anyway, and you're not out on your boats yet and things like that, no golfing and things. So Saturday mornings, we have five sessions, and I hope that you'll participate and plan for that. Please check your inbox. There will be an email with information where you can sign up and say, yes, I'll be able to attend as many as possible for that. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And so please follow along in your Bible. Be ready to participate momentarily in the discussion and also plan to help with the prayer time and give some prayer requests if you would. Let's go ahead and pray now, and we'll begin reading our verses together. Father, we thank you for this time to gather in our scattered groups. We thank you for this ministry opportunity for discipleship, fellowship, and spiritual growth that we have. Bless each group. We thank you for all the hosts. Thank you for all the participants and everyone that is maybe bringing food or contributing to the conversation. And we pray that you'll continue to bless the church as we gather each week. And with the many different opportunities to serve, to win others to Christ, I pray that each person would step up and find their way to minister and serve you and serve others. And so bless now our study, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll be reading verse 12 in just a moment. What comes to mind when I say warm apple pie? Let's say you come home after a long day and somebody's been cooking and you smell warm apple pie. You haven't seen it yet, but you just smell it wafting through the air. That's a great aroma, isn't it? What smells invade your mind? What thoughts come into your mind when I say barbecue? Barbecue, maybe you like grilling out, a barbecue smell. What do you think of when I say or ask you for the name of your favorite perfume or cologne? What's your favorite one? I like Lacoste Blanca. Lacoste Blanca. It's a white bottle, Lacoste, and that's my favorite one. What's your favorite one for a cologne or perfume? What do you think or how do you like the smell of a coffee shop? One of those where they're grinding the coffee beans and they are roasting the coffee beans right there. How do you like that smell? Isn't that good? Even if you don't like coffee, you may like that aroma. I know I didn't drink coffee for years, but I like the smell of coffee. And that's a good example of that. How do you think when I say, and what do you think of when I say the name funeral home? What smell comes to mind? If I say that, I think about frankincense. I have a bottle of hand lotion that has frankincense and myrrh. And it kind of has that funeral home aroma or odor, depending on how you perceive that. These are olfactory nerves in our nose and brain that I'm speaking of. And some are aromas of life, and others are odors of death. And we find both in the verses that we're about to read. So notice, if you would, beginning in verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. I like that verse. And maketh manifest the savor. Now, that's not the word savior. If you just read through quickly, you may read savior into this verse several times. It's mentioned, it's not savior, it's savor. It has to do with a sweet-smelling aroma. a flavor for the nose, if you would. So there's a savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor, that's a smell of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish, those who are not yet saved. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and unto the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. These are terrific verses for us to understand in our scattered group message here today. This word savor is the word osme, which is translated odor in John chapter 12, verse 3. And that's when Mary brings her fragrance, and she puts that fragrance in Bethany, and she puts that on Christ. She anoints him and puts the fragrance on him. Same word, an odor, a smell, a sweet aroma is what he's speaking of. Now, there are bad and putrid smells, and there are sweet and good smells that we appreciate. And from time to time, there'll be the putrid smells. As Paul was writing to these Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, he had mentioned how one man was causing an uproar and was really disrupting the church because he was committing incest. It was an unusual case, but something that demonstrated the worldliness and sensuality that some of them possessed within that church. He was calling them out in 1 Corinthians. There was also a follow-up letter between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that Titus had delivered to them. And so Paul was pointing out this sin that contributed a bad odor, a bad smell, a putrid smell. That's what sin can cause in a person's life. Friends, the fragrance of Christ should be evident in our lives. That would be the theme of our message here, is that the fragrance of Christ should be evident in our lives. Now, some will be attracted to Christ because of your life. And Paul mentions that in these verses. Others are not going to be attracted to Christ because of the fragrance of Christ in you. Just some will not be attracted to Christ, maybe because of us. Dr. Charles Weigel composed the favorite song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." One day as he was visiting Pasadena, California, early that morning he had the opportunity to walk through some of the famous rose gardens. And the rose gardens fill the air with their fragrance as the rose petals are just all that wonderful aroma is just wafting through the air and blowing through the breeze. Later in the day, he arrived at the hotel where the Bible conference was being conducted. And as he was seated next to a man, the man turned to him and said, "Dr. Weigel, I know where you've been." He said, "You've been in our famous rose gardens, haven't you?" Because that smell remained on him. That fragrance was sweet and wonderful, and it remained with him because that's where he was at, and it continued to be carried with him throughout the day. He said, "Yes, I toured some of your lovely gardens." Would God help us to have the fragrance of Christ in our lives, that we've been with Christ and he's affected us, that aroma would not immediately leave, but go with us and waft off us and blow through the breeze of our life throughout the day as well. With our words, our actions, the songs in our heart, the words on our lips. Now, I ask you this question then. How do you respond to the circumstances that you find yourself in? When things don't go right, when things don't go well, when life is disappointing, when there's uncertainty or even restlessness, how do you respond to that? That could be the aroma of your life, of Christ in you, or an odor of sin or wrong, or a wrong response or reaction to whatever's taking place. The fragrance of Christ should be evident in our lives. And Paul finds this and describes it for us in three ways. There's unfulfilled dreams in verse 12, there's restlessness in verse 13, and then victory in verses 14 through 16. Let's talk about unfulfilled dreams. In verse 12, he said, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." Now, this would have been a dream come true. for a missionary, for a church planter, that this door was open, that I could go through this door and settle in and see a difference within Christianity for the cause of Christ. An open door was open, but this was an unfulfilled dream in Paul's life, because in the very next verse he said, I have no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. He stays just a very short time in Troas, not fulfilling this open door. Are you saying that there was an open door that he missed or did not go through? That's what he says. That's what he says. He didn't stay. He did not make a long-term effort in that town of Troas. Troas, as one commenter said, had attracted him since the time of his second missionary journey, at which time he had found the door to evangelism in Asia Minor firmly closed to him. He had come to Phrygia, the region of Galatia, Asia, Mysia, Bithynia, and finally Troas, and all the time the Spirit had been closing doors. And we find that in the book of Acts. Doors were closing. But here, this door was open. He says, God opened this door for me. There's an open door. He had come to Troas and indeed had these great dreams. It was close to Troy, a place that we know of about of Greece and all the different religions and things that went on there. And it's Troas is this busy seaport, just south, it's a little south of the Aegean entrance in that region. And it had been founded about 300 years before Christ. It had become a Roman colony. It was just the type of place where Paul liked to settle down and plant a church and disciple believers. But it says something about the mind of the Apostle Paul. At this state, he was distressed because Titus hadn't come back yet with news about how the Corinthians had received the letter that he sent. And he was more interested in finding a way to get back to Corinth than to stay and minister in Troas. So here was an open door, but he had unfinished business with the Corinthians. Here was an unfulfilled dream, but there was something more pressing in his heart and life to go and minister and meet the needs of the Corinthian believers. Now, later on, we know someone else had planted a church. Luke mentions that. Titus was not there yet because of his travels. His travels were delayed for some reason, and so he wasn't able to meet him there. Later on, they meet up, and he tells them what happened in Corinth and how they responded to the letter that he sent. Think about delays in travel. Just go to any airport today. There's probably a delay in travel. We know about that today. There are dreams, goals, expectations, and ideas that we have in life that many times go unfulfilled, unmet, incomplete, or undone. Can I just let you know, it's okay. It's okay. There could be open doors or unfulfilled dreams in your life. Go through them if God wants you to go through them. But if things don't work out, it's still going to be all right. God can still orchestrate His plan. God still has a purpose for your life. Sometimes the timing that happens and the way things turn out are not what we had hoped for or expected, but it will be okay. I wanted to date this boy. I wanted to marry this girl, but it didn't happen. I wanted to have a family by this time. I thought I'd have my career job by this point. I knew a guy in college one time, and he was in college 8 years. And the reason it was 8 years is he kept changing his major. He was a full-time college student for 8 years. I thought I would own my car by now. I thought I would own my house by now. Life threw a curveball at me. My health declined. There was a medical emergency. There was an accident or a car wreck. I'm not able to do the work or able to do what I used to do. Now, friends, think about this. Your response to unfulfilled dreams can either smell good or bad. You can respond with life, an aroma of life, or the odor of death, depending on your response. Really, it's like this. Either you're going to give a coffee shop aroma or a funeral home odor based upon how you respond or react to the unfulfilled dreams of your life. That's what Paul is describing here in this passage. Paul probably journeyed to Troas by ship, And after the tumult of what happened in Ephesus, he was pleased to find now there's an open door. I'm not getting kicked out of some of these other places. I'm not being run out. There's an open door here. And yet Titus wasn't there yet. And he wanted to see Titus, not just because he was his friend, but he had news about how they had received his message. And so that door, it was open, but he did not go through. He wanted to go on to see what was going on at Corinth. So unfulfilled dreams. Next is restlessness. Here's another response that will either give off a good aroma or an odor is, what do you do about restlessness? I had no rest in my spirit, verse 13. Because I found not Titus my brother. Now, he was a brother. They were close friends. And it's not just because his friend was not there, though we do need the encouragement of good friends. And that can be disappointing if they're not there or if we're not around each other. But it's more about the news that he was going to bring back because he had delivered the letter that he had sent to them. And he wanted to know, how did they receive it? Did they repent? Did they change their ways? Did that guy living in incest, did he stop his evil ways? Did the church reprimand him? Did they separate from him? Did he repent? I mean, there's a lot of things going on. Did they choose to do what is right? I wasn't trying to hurt him. I was trying to help them, even though there's a lot of tears that we mentioned in our last message. And so there was a restlessness in his heart. Do you ever feel restless? Do you ever feel disappointed? A lot of times we would call this stress. You feel stressed out sometimes, stressful about the way things are perceived or what's going to happen. I'm not sure about this situation. That's how Paul was feeling. That's what he's expressing here when he had no rest in his spirit. What stresses you out? One person describes stress this way. Stress is as necessary to life as eating and communicating. Without stress, we would not be able to appreciate our limits or attain our objectives. Being under the right kind of pressure, whether self-induced or externally created, is an integral part to responding appropriately to the challenges of everyday life. To desire an existence that is stress-free is quite literally a death wish. So there's always going to be stress. Friends, it's how do you respond to the stress? There's always going to be moments where I'm battling with a restlessness in my spirit. All right, that's going to happen because it's part of life. How do you respond to that? Paul and Titus were like brothers. His mentor and mentee Titus was not present at Troas, and he wanted to know. He had been harsh. He had been very direct. And he wanted Titus to let him know, how did they receive it? How did they respond? So he was restless. Whenever you feel restless, know that it is a normal part of life. It's part of our human experience, and how you respond to that is either going to be an aroma that's positive towards Christ or an odor that's negative towards Christ. So there's unfulfilled dreams, there's restlessness, and then there's victory. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, in verse 14. Friends, we need to win graciously. This is something that I try to coach into our sports teams, and I've coached baseball and basketball teams for 8, 9, and 10-year-olds the last several years, and I like that. It's a great opportunity to minister to people and to reach out into the community. And something that I've encouraged our guys, I just think about recently, that we won some games. We won some basketball games, and the guys are so excited. Guys, let's be good sports. Let's congratulate them. But we also lost some games. Guys, the other team won a game, and let's congratulate them. Let's encourage them. And so to be a good sport is an important thing. Sportsmanship gives either a good impression of Christ or a bad impression of Christ. Your sportsmanship as a Christian gives a good aroma towards Christ or an odor towards Christ. The word triumph here is a word which has to do with Bacchus. Bacchus was a song that they would sing in festival processions called the Roman Triumph. And so victorious generals would come back from their campaigns, and they would bring the spoils of war. Off in the distance, there would be these great sacrifices going on, and different fragrances and spices and things would be lit up, and oils would be on fire, and it would have a special aroma. At the same time, they would sing these songs of victory and have these large parades, parading through the spoils, bringing the enemies who then become slaves. The ones they conquer would become their slaves then and servants. And so they would sing these praises. They would have these sacrifices going on. And so sometimes we'll read and not understand all the background, but there's also a fragrance with the wind. That's why he's talking about the fragrance here, about the wind. It's because of the spices and oils and things they had burning whenever the winners came home. And so, friends, whether it's something that is difficult that you're facing or something that is good, that's positive, a good outcome that happens like a win, you either will give off an aroma of Christ that's positive or an odor towards Christ that would be negative. A Roman parade really spoke volumes to those who saw it. And friends, your life, whenever you win and see God bless and great things happen, that speaks volumes to the testimony of Christ as well. Now notice how Paul says, thanks be to God for the victory. I encourage you, give thanks to the Lord. Make sure you recognize Him for the wins in life. Our victory comes through Christ. And when we give thanks, it makes a sweet aroma to God, and it makes a sweet aroma for all those who we come into contact with. The fragrance of Christ should be evident in our lives, whether it's unfulfilled dreams, restlessness, or victory. So what impressions are made? Well, there's the knowledge of Christ in verse 14. People will know more about Him based on how you project an aroma towards them about the Lord. There's a smell of life or death. Either it's a positive, a life-giving response and aroma, or a death-smelling odor that you give based upon how you respond to your circumstances. And then there's the veracity of God's Word. And that's in verse 17. Notice, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. How would they corrupt the Word of God? This isn't a proof text for what Bible version you prefer to use. He's talking about the aroma that you project whenever things are good or bad in your life. And whenever you give your response or your reaction, either it's going to show God's Word is true or that God's Word is not so true in your life. And it's our lives and how we live out the Word of God that can corrupt the Word of God. That's the proper explanation and understanding of this verse. Either your lives give an accurate picture of God's grace, or your lives and my life does not. That's what it is. And so, friends, the fragrance of Christ should be evident in our lives. So what fragrance will you leave? Will it be a coffee shop experience? Or a funeral home odor that you may project onto others? Please take some time to answer these questions and then pray with your group. Thanks for participating today. God bless.